Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back to the books. One to go. Final hour of the show on the Press Box. It's Nick and myself up until 4. Not really big headlines today in sports.
Who cares? This is not a sports station anyway, right? Of course
it
is.
It depends on who you talk to, Nick. Because, you know, some people get a little irked when we don't talk sports. Other people get irked when we talk too much sports.
Well, I have a bone to pick with you before we get back to sports anyway.
You just said a bone?
Mm-hmm.
You sure that's all it is?
How come Taryn Hilo hasn't been back in studio? You're slacking. Vengeance Bikinis. I'm looking at her on Twitter right now. She just tweeted out from, like, her Vengeance Bikinis, like, Twitter that she retweeted with the caption, "Crotchet all day."
It's crochet.
Is it?
Where's your mind? In the gutter? Did you just call it crotchet?
Yeah.
It's crochet.
What is that?
Crochet is like macrame. It's like knitted. It's like a pattern to bring fabric together and create fabric.
Crochet. That
crochet,
is how you pronounce it.
Not crotchet.
I'm going to call it crotchet.
Evidently you are, with other things on your mind. Crotchet?
Anyway, you need to text her, and it needs to be an in-studio appearance. It cannot be over the phone.
Okay. I'm going to do it right now. You know what? Here's the thing.
And we'll ask
it her. Wasn't for lack of effort. She was supposed to join us 2 separate times, but she was doing other things and had a lot going on. And then we didn't follow up on it. And she was, like I said, she was out of touch. But she had already said she was going to do it. So we can check.
How to crochet for absolute beginners.
Well, skip your two-stepping. It's time to move on to other hobbies, Nick. You need to become a full-blown crotcheter.
She's actually a good interview.
She knows sports.
She's actually a really good
interview.
If you
don't know who she is, she was also Astros girl at the Astros games behind home plate for a while.
Yeah, she was a fun interview, man.
She, thanks to my efforts, she did some Rockets videos weekly for a season on Rockets.com.
You're slacking. So that's basically what I have to. And when you're slacking, I have to call you out. As your partner, I have to call you out. You know what I mean?
I guess. You could have done it in a break. I'm working on it for you right now. So, last night, Bucks take a commanding 3-0 lead over the Heat in Miami. Lakers take a 2-1 lead over the Suns. And look, Chris Paul is not Chris Paul. Without Chris Paul, the Suns don't have a chance. And I looked at the history of this guy, and I know Rockets fans will always remember the hamstring, but if you go back and look, this is like his 4th major postseason injury. He had a hamstring with the Clippers. He had a hamstring with the Rockets. He's got this one with the Suns. He had one other one where it's like, man, this dude's had some bad luck, but wow, at a certain point, what a complete just dream buster he can be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I said they never should have gotten rid of him, and I'm a big Chris Paul fan.
Of course.
I feel bad for this guy, and I also feel bad for all the Suns fans, because without him, you got no shot, and he's just not going to be right.
There's no shot. They have zero chance of doing anything without Chris Paul. Did he say something about Scott Foster again? About him reffing games, or was that like an old story?
Well,
that I saw
I don't know
on
if you
Twitter?
Saw it, but early in the game, Chris Paul kind of stumbled coming in the backcourt without the ball, and Scott Foster put his hands on him to try and help him, and Chris swatted his hands away. And then during the game, Kendrick Perkins tweeted, "Scott Foster something for, to the likes of, hey, Scott Foster, no one wants you to be the star of the game for making way too many calls. Just stay out of it. And Mario Elie actually liked the tweet. Because, as we've talked about, Scott Foster wants to be the show within the show.
Yep.
No time for that. Did you see the Booker foul?
I didn't see it. Was it bad?
So he got thrown out late for shoving, come on, man, Dennis Schroeder.
Okay.
You go back and you look at the replay, it was a little bit dirty. Like, he ran into him, kind of bodying him up defensively, but gave him a little kind of a push-out Heisman Trophy shove, and he fell down. They kicked him out. The NBA better not suspend him because the Suns are really done without Booker, but they can't afford that. That was kind of dumb for that very reason.
That is kind of dumb. I'm trying to just pull up the audio for Chris Paul because apparently he did have some words about Scott Foster.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to get the tweet pulled up. The headline reads on Yahoo Sports, 11 in a row, Chris Paul upset about losing another playoff game to refereed, a game refereed by Scott Foster. And this is, I think, this is one by Anthony Slater, which was tweeted out today. This is what I think this is what he had to say.
Are competing. We got to try to, you know, limit their free throw attempts. You know, they're shooting a lot of free throws last game tonight. I mean, if I was a betting man, 11 games in a row. 11 games in a row. And we'll see what happens.
So he clearly is not happy with Scott Foster. And remember, this was a guy that, remember, he didn't, as a guy who's making $40, $45 million a year, I remember covering him and the Rockets, and he was like, man, I'm not trying to say anything bad about the referees. That's $5,000. He didn't want to pay the fine. But clearly, when you're in the playoffs, your frustration goes up a little bit, and you start not to give a bleep. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So we know the Rockets did this regularly. They kept track of, and then the fans just couldn't get enough of it. And then every time Red Kool-Aid drinking rowdies thought that they got Scott Foster screwed in a Scott Foster playoff game, it had to come up that their record when Scott Foster refereed a playoff game for theirs was not successful.
Correct.
And so Chris just looks like he kind of took it to the next level and took it with him and said, wherever I go, I'm going to take these stats with me, because we know that they have a history. We also know that after the seasons have been over, they've actually had meetings at the league office with Foster and Paul and their representatives trying to get through all this. There's no love lost.
And I was just going to make reference to that. Like, you and many teams in the league have already had a long continued dialogue about Scott Foster. It's not like this is like a new topic. I mean, you can remember going back to your Rockets days. Y'all had so many meetings and discussions.
Well, we had legitimately, whenever we wanted them, we had bar graphs or we had stats where we could say, you know, like at the start of the broadcast, if we go, and tonight's officials are going to be Scott Foster, also Derek Smith and whoever, and Leon Wood. If we wanted to, all we had to do was text or call or go down to basketball ops and say, hey, you got the Rockets records either in the playoffs or the Rockets records lifetime with these guys refereeing, and boom, they could just go into the file, click, 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 send it to you just now. And you could get everything you needed to know about what happened when they refereed a Rockets game. Mark Cuban's the same way. Just, you talk about analytics, and anything is analytical and can be stored as data.
Yeah.
They had everything.
And guess what? There's referee analytics, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
And it goes in depth.
Because, like, so for instance, I don't think you can blame what happened last night on the officials. The Suns were just they were overmatched because they were limited with Paul for starters. But if you wanted to, if there was a game where there was an issue, first thing you're going to do is have your video department highlight all the questionable calls and put them in a reel. And then you're going to follow that up with some kind of a text message or some kind of a summary synopsis that says, this is the 12th time that Scott Foster has reffed one of our playoff games. In every single one of those games, the foul discrepancy was this to this. We've lost this many games of the 12 that he's reffed in the playoffs. This has to be addressed.
Yeah.
Now, whether the league chooses to do anything about it or not,
that's up to them.
But you got to bring it to them in a concise fashion. And that Cuban does it. The Rockets do it. I think more and more teams got on board with it, too. So
Well, I mean, I think if you're a team, it's part of gamemanship too, right? To kind of put that in their mind. Just like the gamemanship, like with a player. Like a player is, you know, having a conversation or a dialogue with the referee on the court. He could say, you know, watch out for that elbow. Like, you know, when James Harden comes around that pick, a lot of times he likes to use that elbow and he just watch out for that elbow. And he can put stuff like that in the referee's mind.
This is like we're talking about the cheating scandals, right? This is just taking it to the next level of what Phil Jackson used to do forever and a day when he was coaching. He would say, after a certain game, if he knew the next game, he wanted the calls to go his way, or he wanted the game to be called a certain way, either call it real tight or call it loosely because I got a really aggressive defensive team. He would make sure between game one or two or whatever, between games in the series, he'd go, guys, we got completely screwed last night. The way they're calling our games, the calls that they made, we're going to call the league off. Then call the league office, do what I said, send the tape, send the rest assured, that next game, the referees had gotten phone calls, and at least early on, but chances are the tendency for the rest of the game was going to be, he's going to get the game called his way. It's a psychological game.
I didn't know it was like that. I didn't know it was that in depth. I didn't know that they're doing it that bad. I figured there'd be some sort of gamemanship. Is Dick Willie on Twitch drunk?
I don't know why.
Just what is this? Egyptians wear kilts and skirts and cloaks and shawls. Men might wear aprons, pieces of cloth attached to a belt, bands around the world. What's wrong with Dick Willie today? I don't know if it's racist, but...
Well, I mean, it's stereotypical assumptions, is it not?
Is there a stereotype of Egyptians wearing skirts? I don't know. I don't remember that. I never grew up wearing a skirt.
Okay.
That's not really my thing.
I got news for you, little fella.
Little fella? Yep. My name is not Palillo, homie.
Boy, if I tell her what you called crocheting...
Tell her. I don't care. She responded. I don't know what that is.
By the way, she responded already.
About time.
And she's
you...
in town.
Okay.
So we'll see what we Tuesday. Can do for you. Easy, Chief. We'll see what we can do for you. Crotch it. Anybody want to crotch it? Anybody want to crotch it?
So we know for a fact
some shorts.
So we know for a fact it's not crotch it. It's crochet.
Yes, Nick. It's
crochet. You're 100%
sure. Do your little
sure.
Google verbal thing. Anybody want to crotch it, Nick, a sweater? Jeez. We'll be back with more. Final hour.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Well, there's a couple questions for Nick on the table.
Okay.
First one, I'm obviously out on.
Go ahead.
Text message says, hey, Nick, what do you think of Taylor Swift's new drop? Because I would have no clue.
Haven't heard it.
And you shouldn't hear it ever during
the
show.
What's the name of it so we can play it on the show?
I don't know because they didn't give it to me because I'm quite pleased in saying that I don't want to know.
Taylor Swift new song. We're playing it right now. See, that's the beautiful thing about being a producer. I don't have to listen to you in terms of music.
You don't listen to me at all.
That's kind of true. It's not really 100% true.
It's kind of more than kind of true.
What's the name of it? Someone tell me. Is it the best day? No. Yeah. Is it the best day or that? No, that dropped April 29th.
Wait till the next text or tweet comes in. That could be hours. Now, where are you on this, Nick, the MMA expert?
Mm-hmm.
Dana White has said that Derek Lewis will face Francis Ngannou in Houston in August, hopefully. That would be a big deal. Derek Lewis in Houston.
It would make sense. They're obviously one of the venues and willing to go at 100% capacity. You saw what UFC 262 looked like. I was all about it. Shout out to Joel Blank over here for giving me the tickets.
Yes, sir.
Great, great fight card. Not shocking. And then you got the Derek Lewis Houston angle, so it makes sense. If the deal between John Jones and Francis Ngannou was not going to go down, then this is the fight to make. Honestly, that was the fight to make regardless. But because of John Jones, because he's a GOAT, because of the name recognition, and the fact that he's going up from light heavyweight at 205 and going up to heavyweight, it made for an interesting story. But for whatever reason, and Dana White, like I said, I give him credit in this regard. He called it. John Jones kind of priced himself out. I don't know if that, you know, if that dialogue is going to be reignited again. But if that fight doesn't happen, it makes sense for Derek Lewis and Francis Ngannou to fight, and in Houston, because that would be not only 100% capacity, but one of the fighters who's the challenger for the belt is actually got Houston ties. So it makes sense, and I love it. So
how do you pronounce this guy's name? Kevin Ioli?
Ioli, yeah.
Kevin Ioli tweeted out, "For what it's worth, Dana White said Derek Lewis will fight Francis Ngannou next. It will be in Houston, likely in August. I'll have full details."
Let's go.
So there you have that.
I'm all about it.
You should be excited about
that. No, I'm all about it. I mean, dude, it was a great fight card. And look, more and more people will be vaccinated probably by then. You know what I mean? Maybe they'll...
Well, from what you were saying, too, it says fans have been waiting to see Dana White announce a fight between Ngannou and John Jones. White said Jones was asking for 30 mil to even consider fighting. Yeah. Come on now. That's not even realistic.
And then John Jones takes to Twitter and denies it. So we don't know where the truth is. He went to Twitter and denied that he never asked for the 30 million. He did put on record that he's not worth 8 to 10 for a fight.
What's the worst thing that could happen? People say no. Shoot for the moon, right?
Well, I mean, shoot for the moon until you can't get a deal done.
That's what I'm saying. But you ask for the moon, and then if they say no, then you just bring your standard. You lower the price. And
clearly, John Jones is not doing that.
That's not too smart.
He's not doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I heard Brother Bear asked me, and I meant to answer this question. I think it was like 2 days ago. He's like, "Do you think he'd fight?" He's like, "Cause John Jones talked about a major announcement." He's like, "Do you think he would fight in Bellator or somewhere else?" I'm like, "I hope not." And I think that would be, in my opinion, I'm sorry, he's just too good of a goat. He's just a goat to go to Bellator. I think it would tarnish his legacy a little bit. And that's no knock on Bellator. I'm just saying, I don't think he should. If he can't make a deal with the UFC for a title fight, either at light heavyweight or heavyweight, please don't go to Bellator.
No.
I just don't think that's the right move.
Well, I mean, specifically, how can I talk today? Specifically, if you're looking for the best financial situation for you, I don't think it's ever going to be Bellator as opposed to the revenue streams that UFC brings to the table. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So, all right. Astros again tonight at home against the Padres, and it's going to be Framber Valdez on the mound for the first time this season as he finally makes his long-awaited debut after dealing with this broken finger issue.
So what do you want from him?
I want five innings.
Okay.
That's it.
I was about to say four or five innings myself.
I don't think you can shoot for the moon and go longer than that because of the fact that even in his minor league stints with the Skeeters, they were limiting how far he would go. And you've got to kind of stretch him out over a period of time. You can't just all of a sudden get him to a point. Now, if he has a low pitch count and he's cruising,
extended, yeah,
I'll let him go a little longer, but I give you Corey Kluber as the latest example of all the examples we gave about when you think that the right thing to do is to let a guy go pitch his no-hitter or try and get it, and then the start after that or in subsequent starts after that, you realize letting him go in and get it has also caused him arm problems that's going to not allow him to go get you any more wins that year. It started with Santana and the Mets years ago. It was this year now. Corey Kluber pitches the no-hitter. In his next start, he has shoulder discomfort, and now the Yankees are going to put him on the injured list. You can't afford – Fromber's too important right now to mess with because he was at the start of the year, he was penciled in to be a major contributor in this rotation, and he still can be.
Yeah.
But you don't have wiggle room now. So you got to take him with kid gloves and go, if you can give me four or five, great.
Yeah, I was going to say four, but I'm okay with five. I just figured, you know what, you know, go on the side of caution, you know, just go four innings, watch the pitch count, make sure he doesn't feel completely uncomfortable. But if you know anything about Dusty, I don't know if four innings is the number he's going to stop at. I would imagine it would be a five, to be honest with you. I'd be okay with just four, but...
Here's some bad news, Nick.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What?
Mark Berman's tweeting out from the game tonight. Michael Brantley and Yordan Alvarez are not in the lineup again tonight, which means the sore knees are still sore. This is starting to be a problem. It was okay if it was just one game. Then it became both games of the Dodgers series. Now we're talking about not only the Dodgers series, but the first game of the Padres series. And then he also said that Ryan Pressly is doing better, but they don't have a decision yet, and the he says they have a decision to make on Brantley. I'm not pleased about that.
What's Brantley's deal?
It started out being sore knees from playing too much in the field, back to backs, and over, you know, putting multiple games together on his knees. They were going to give him a night off. Then it became two. Now it's going to be three. Now they have a decision to make. Especially in the outfield, where you don't have a surplus of veteran outfielders. We've talked about this. The number one aching concern until the bullpen crapped the bed for the last 3, 4, 5 weeks was Miles Straw. But now you're going to probably have to play either Chaz, or you're going to have Diaz, who's more of an infielder than an outfielder, stay in the outfield with Tucker and Straw. I can't win. I can't.
Talking out loud makes you mad sometimes.
It does, because I'm looking at the lineup. Diaz is going to DH. Straw's in center. Chaz McCormick's in left. Tucker's in right.
And Todd said during a right-hander, too. So they're facing a right-hander, right?
Yeah, good one, too. A good young one, but it has some arm problems. But
that's no bueno.
Man, that's not what I needed to hear. Come on.
Well, Alvarez in particular. Brantley, well, both of them. I mean,
Brantley's one of the best sticks in the lineup.
I love both of those players so much.
Yeah, I just...
You know, the leg soreness is always a weird thing with Alvarez because of the knee situation. You don't want anything lingering, but it just sounds like that. I'm not saying it is, but it just sounds like a lingering situation that just doesn't want to go away, similar to a hamstring.
Dennelson Lamet is the pitcher for the Padres. He's 1-0 with a 1.64.
I should have went to this game.
He's a hell of a pitcher. Good young arm.
I should have got creds for this game.
Let's see if this sounds familiar, Nick. He's got electric stuff. He's got really good major league stuff. He's got a good live young arm. You know what? The only difference between him and Brian Abreu or Josh James is he can find the strike zone. Jeez. And finally, Granato's on my bandwagon. When are we going to hear from James Click? Can you please address the issues that the bullpen has and that you're actually trying to do something about it?
Yeah. I mean, I think his reputation speaks for himself. He's a cheap dude. They're on the cheap. That's what he did in his other job.
Like that when they were chasing a chip. And this team isn't that far off from chasing one, and there's not many holes to fill. It is depth with veterans in the outfield, including a starting center fielder, and most importantly, it is a bullpen that can get guys out.
They're just on the cheap. Like, now, I don't look at the Carlos Correa situation and say, you know what, they're just being way too cheap, because I didn't think Carlos Correa was necessarily worth the money he probably is asking for. But in some of the other voids where they're smaller, and you talk about further along going into the depth of the team, like you would think some of that would be addressed or at least spoken about. But you're right, and maybe they don't want to. I don't know what's his deal. I don't know why he doesn't want to speak and give an update on that. Is it that big of a deal if he does?
Oh, man,
like, is it going to be that painful?
Look, I know some people are introverted and they don't really like being out there. But part of being a general manager on a professional sports team is you got
to
be
out
there.
He's not known to be an introvert. He's just not super out. Is he an introvert? Is he not? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't think he's known to be an introvert.
It's like Daryl's the opposite. Daryl was the guy that couldn't get enough of the microphones. But James Click seems like a guy that isn't real jazzed about any time he's got to go speak at a press conference or talk to the media. So for whatever the case may be, at least Jeff Luhnow used to sit behind the batting cages in pregame and kind of impromptu hold court with the media when they needed something. So at least you could get an update, like, hey, your bullpen's kind of in shambles right now. Are you out? What do you got going on? Are there talks? Are you looking at people? And at least you could say, yeah, we're looking at the farm system, or we've been talking to some teams. You don't have to say who. Give us some hope. Keep hope alive. Possible. That bullpen sucks. All right. 30 minutes to go. We come back. Don't go anywhere. It's Press Box. ESPN 975.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
I'm like the water when your ship rolled in that night. Rough on the surface, but you cut through like a knife.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Sang it, Joel.
No, because you know what? I heard enough. It's a dumb song.
How do you know? You haven't even given it a chance.
I don't need to. It's Taylor Swift. You and Aaron Rodgers finally have something in common in AJ.
250 million plays already, bro. Look, you can hate on Taylor Swift all you want and say she's just unbearable and all that other stuff.
Whatever.
But whatever she touches is still gold.
What's the joke on the commercial about her cardigan sweaters? When she goes to the closet, it's all full of cardigan sweaters. She says, "I think, is there something I'm missing? Does she? I don't think she wears cardigan sweaters all the time, does she?
I would think she does.
Maybe that's one of her songs. Maybe. I don't know her songs like you and AJ.
I'm not that much of a Swiftie. I just...
Oh, everyone that follows us,
I mean,
knows
in terms of knowing every little, like, song, no. In terms of being a fan of her, I'm not as annoyed as most people. That's all I'm saying.
I'm one of those people. I get annoyed by Taylor Swift. Someone said, why are y'all acting like the trade deadline in baseball is tomorrow? Well, why are you acting like it's not?
I just said update. I didn't say necessarily force a trade now.
Right, but I would like to know that he's working on something is what I said.
Yeah, and look, I've given him the credit of, look, there might be a situation where James Click is picking up the phone and he's reaching out. But he just doesn't want to bring it out to the public, or he's just not comfortable with bringing it to the public. Maybe a lot of it were impromptu discussions, or maybe it was a situation where it was just too premature and it didn't go and grow to further along to a point where it was going to be a serious trade. Look, I think in any case, he has to eventually address it. Even if he makes the move or not, he has to address it.
Okay, but you're right. But that's all I want him to do
Before the deadline saying.
All I want is to hear from him and say, we know there's a problem. We're working on it. You don't have to give me specifics of who you're talking to and what you're trying to do.
Right.
At the same time, to the texter's point, you're still right there teetering on first place. You're still one of the best records in baseball. There's a chance if you do something sooner rather than later and rectify one of your two glaring holes in your baseball team, you could actually go farther and accomplish more. If you wait till closer to the trade deadline, when you suddenly tumble into third place because now those games that you led going into the sixth or seventh that you lost, instead of counting them on one hand, you're looking at toes.
Yeah. I mean, if waiting till the trade deadline is not the worst idea, but I do understand your concern in the sense that maybe the player that could have been available is no longer available. And now you're in, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda mode. You know what I mean? And maybe, but you know, making a trade way too early or way before the trade deadline could be premature as well. So, I don't know.
See, here's the thing. And so someone else said, you know, y'all know they don't make any deals till right up against the deadline. So he doesn't need to tell us anything. It's not even June. Yes, he does. And yes, they do. Because there was a move made last week where the Rays, who always have good quality relief pitching, are starting to give up some of their pitchers. James Click used to be in Tampa. That was one guy they could have looked at. Also, in a Verlander case, that's when you're looking to hit the home run right before the deadline. That's when you're just looking for that once every fifth day starter that could be a massive difference maker. But right now, what you're looking for is there's going to be teams that have financial issues. You don't have the luxury of a lot of teams because, as we've highlighted in the past, the Astros aren't one of the best farm systems in baseball. They're not one of the top 10. They're not one of the top 15. So therefore, you don't have the luxury of being able to say, we know we got some pen issues. We're going to dive down into our farm system, and we're going to start looking at what you did a year ago can't happen every year. A year ago, when you brought up Paredes and Garcia, and you brought up some of these young arms, Blake Taylor, and guys that Belak suddenly decided to contribute, and you could weed out and give them a test. You basically, on-the-job training, and figured out who could and who couldn't. You don't have that same luxury this year because you don't have the same quality of pitchers left in your farm system. So the next best thing is, who's out there trying to get rid of veterans or guys that can get guys out that I could get and don't have to give up a whole lot?
Right, on a cheap, on somewhat right. cheap. Maybe not incredibly cheap, but just somewhat on the cheap. Just a deal, something with value at least.
And to your point, Nick, not just on the cheap, but it's not like I can give you, because the same reason why I just said they're not diving down into the farm system to solve the problem, they also can't dive down into the farm system and say, I got a couple of pitchers in A-ball, AA, AAA that I could throw on the table, because they don't have those the resources in the farm system for that either.
Sure.
It's going to be, what's it going to take? You want to unload a contract. You want a player to be named later, or one of the vets off my roster. We'll talk. I'm not looking to break the bank with a major deal. I just need some bullpen help at a reasonable price.
Yeah, and maybe that's, look, again, I'm not trying to take any credit away. We were just trying to to answer the texter. Like, I'm just waiting on an update, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with an update, even if you haven't made a move. You know,
right?
There's nothing wrong with him addressing the media and saying.
And
that.
Again, you're in a position of strength right now.
He's not going to get David Culley'd. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're in a position of strength right now, so you start looking at it going, are there teams that are getting guys back? And the reason why I always mention as the Gerchuk is one of the potential guys that the Astros could go after if they really wanted a veteran center fielder is, one, the Blue Jays have a massive payroll and Springer isn't playing. When he comes back, he has to play center field, which is where Gerchuk's playing. And they've already made a long-term commitment to Gerchuk. The Blue Jays are probably willing to pick up a good portion of his salary just to move him on. And you could get him somewhat on the cheap. You insert him into the lineup right away. You instantaneously become that much better. And, oh, by the way, you've got a general manager that probably is somewhat familiar with some of the – Kevin Kiermaier, who came from the Rays. A cheaper option, but the same thing, where you could get a guy that they don't really want to pay, that they might even help you pay to get younger guys into their system.
Well, that would
Kiermaier and Gerchuk from that – so there's got to be pitchers like that too.
Yeah, well, that would be a lovely situation if they can find somebody where the other team that they're getting him from pays a portion of the salary to the point where the Astros just pay a, you know, I guess a nominal number, for lack of a better term, as opposed to overpaying and giving up too much. So,
well, and here's, and someone brings up, actually, I would, some people might poop on this, but is Roberto Osuna healthy? He had the surgery. No one knows where he's at, but you don't have to give up anything except for you have to sign him to a contract if you want to go kick the tires on him too, because he's been there and done that already. But this is what I'm talking about. There are veterans out there, just like we were talking about D. Gordon, a veteran that had been successful in Major League Baseball over his career, and the Brewers signed him to a minor league deal. There are players out there that you probably don't have to give up anything for, or hardly anything for, that probably are going to get, could be better than what you already got.
Where is Osuna? Is he playing in some...
He had Tommy John surgery, so that's what I said. He's not anywhere. He hasn't signed with anybody. But we just don't know, is he completely healthy? Because if he is...
He's not playing for the Mexican League?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I could be wrong about that.
I mean, maybe he's trying to get his arm back in shape by doing that. I don't know for sure. I just know he's not on a major league roster. I know no one controls his rights. He's a free agent.
Okay. Well, so. You saw what he did. I mean, outside the off the field issues that comes along with it, but hey, I'm assuming we're past that point. I don't think it's a situation where you bring him into the clubhouse if he can still perform and it becomes a distraction, because I think they've moved past that. So the whole domestic, or I got the allegations,
right?
You know, have kind of died out, and he did well for what they needed him to do.
Again, this is a big homestand. You split with the Dodgers, and I think it surprised some people. But that was a win, considering you didn't have Brantley. You didn't have Yordan. Greinke walked too many guys and didn't have his best stuff. Then you got an all-world performance from Garcia. But now you're going into another series against another one of the top teams in baseball, and the Red Sox are waiting after that. And as I said to you before this homestand started, you got to at least break even. You got to go 50-50 or better with your record after you're done with this. And it's not setting you up for success when Brantley's out, when Yordan's out, when Presley isn't available, and your bullpen still sucks. Oh, by the way, Abraham Toro was called up. So let everybody take a deep breath and go, we're better now. Jeez. Some people think he's the mascot for the Texans. No, he's your backup third baseman, Toro. Back with the final segment of the Press Box ESPN. I want my family back. People work hard
just to get all their salary back. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Warrior sound! Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. Let's go!
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we've been diligently, the whole station, it seems, working on Astros information during the break, just for you, the peeps, to give you the most accurate information. So the Texans mascot is not going to be on the Astros roster. Toro is joining the Skeeters.
What?
In AAA.
Disrespectful.
So he'll be working on his craft over there at Constellation
Field.
Why
the decision? Is this like a temporary thing, a permanent thing?
Abraham Toro. I don't know. He's working through some things. So, you know, he'll be there. Someone said that Osuna is pitching in the Mexican League and didn't have surgery. That's a little bit puzzling to me because the diagnosis from everybody that we heard about last year was he needed Tommy John. And I know that, as Nick and I were discussing during the break, some people tear their ACL and then just make the decision, I'm going to let it heal on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But they also are the same people that realized my days of strong and hard athletic competitions are over.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a baseball pitcher and you are diagnosed with needing Tommy John and you elect against it, I don't feel confident in the long-term prognosis.
Yeah. And Eric Resendez said the same thing. He saw Roberto Osuna pitch in Mexico with the Diablos twice, and he said he was good. So I don't know.
I'll tell you this.
I'd explore.
I would hope that James Click has some representatives of the Astros watching that Mexican League and seeing what's going on down there with him and others.
I don't know why that's not – maybe that's a question for the media. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why you wouldn't make that a consideration.
Yeah, it's puzzling on a lot of fronts. Top of that, we're trying to figure out – they brought up Garza the other day. He was in the Whataburger line at the Sugarland drive-thru.
Really?
And they brought him up and said he's going to pitch. But again, Tyler was saying he thought he was going to pitch Sunday, but the rotation that we heard Dusty bring out for the weekend was supposed to be Fromber tonight, Odorizzi Saturday, and Greinke on Sunday. So I don't know if anything's changed there, but I don't think anything's wrong with Greinke. We know McCullers is on the IL for 10 days.
Right. Nothing wrong with Greinke at all, so at least to our knowledge.
Right. So maybe he goes into the pen, and as Tyler pointed out, with Javier being moved to the pen, at least there's one reliable arm in the bullpen that might be able to cure some of your woes, though he can't pitch every game, although we thought Brian Abreu couldn't either until Dusty kept going to him.
Right, but it could be a worse situation, like you mentioned. So.
Right. So we hope help is on the way. Fromber's gotta be showing you signs that it's just only going to get better and better for him because when he first went down, you were like, well, we have a surplus of starting pitching. It's a luxury.
Right.
Now, Urquidy's working his way back up. McCullers is on the IL. Fromber's trying to come back. You're trying to figure out if Javier just had a hiccup and he can get back to where he was as a starter by putting him in the pen. Garcia, who you thought was going to be in the pen, is suddenly a starter. But overall, the big picture is it doesn't look as good as it did with the starting pitching either.
No. Nope. But still an exciting series. Not as much as a Dodgers series, but an exciting series still to watch. Now, we did discuss David Culley in the first hour. I feel like this might be a good way to wrap up the show because it has been a while. We discussed a little bit about what he said to the media yesterday. This is the clip on Watson.
We have nothing more to say. We've talked about the Deshaun situation with Nick and I both and with Cal, and nothing's new on that.
So he has not been to the facility at all?
I have nothing to say about that situation.
Forrest Gump.
You said Forrest Gump? You think he sounds like Forrest Gump?
I'm not going to talk about that. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm not going to talk about that.
This is what he had to say about Tyrod Taylor.
He is here at this time right now, and basically he's starting to get in the program. He's been a guy that I've known. I've worked with him before, and I expect him to kind of fall right in with the thing that we're having right now is a competition. And, you know, he's been there before and been in those particular situations. And I expect him to fall right in and become the same Tyrod Taylor that I've known when he was in Baltimore early in his career, and then when I was with him in Buffalo.
Tyrod or Tyrod? That's the question.
You know, the answer is one is a part on a car, and the other is the way you're properly supposed to pronounce your quarterback's name.
Tyrod? Is that where you're going?
Tyrod.
Okay. Okay.
As opposed to Tyrod.
Look, if you're the Texans, you approach Taylor, you work with him, you do what you can, you go under the assumption that obviously Watson is not going to be in a Texans uniform.
There's no doubt. I mean, especially
that's what
if,
you do.
If he's not going to be deposed until 2022.
That's what you
we
do.
Need to just be completely in the relief, in the belief in the realm that he's not going to be a Texan this year.
And you know what? It might not be the most terrible approach to deal with the blowback that comes along with avoiding making any comments on Deshaun Watson in the case for like a certain amount of time to the point where it gets kind of bad and then address it just to kind of put that on the side. You know what I mean? So maybe if they take this approach and just be like, you know what? We're not going to say anything about that. And they keep saying that for, I don't know, a month, 2 months. Obviously, the media is not going to let it go. They're still going to circle back and they're still going to ask the question. But maybe that's the approach that they take. So it does just to minimize the distraction to a certain extent, work with Taylor. You've seen his numbers. You've seen what he can potentially do. I don't think anybody believes they're going
to
be
a gap, but at least he's proven to be somewhat successful,
right? It's not like you're going to get all world from a guy like Taylor, but at least you know what you can get from him. And he has been a starter in this league with experience.
He's not going to crap the bed. He's not going to be all world, but he's better than A.J. McCarron. He's better than, you know, the long list that we've seen come and go through the Texans' doors of hoping that some guy pans out. He's had some success.
What is this junkie thing that everybody keeps talking about with David Culley? What are they talking about?
What?
The whole time on text and on Twitch, they keep saying junkie about that. He's a junkie. Junkie for what?
I don't know.
Have you seen these comments? What are they talking about?
I have not.
What am I missing here?
I don't
like for
know.
3 hours, people keep saying David Culley is a junkie. He's a junkie.
What I was going to ask you, and now because we're running shorter on time, we'll save it for next week because I was going to have you choose between food, sex, or fireworks?
Sex, 100%.
Okay.
It's not even a...
We're not going to get to all of these, but I saw this story today in the New York Post. A woman claims that through a DNA test that the doctor at the fertility bank that she saw secretly inseminated her with his own sperm instead of the sperm match that she wanted.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, like, so I'm just reading the story first before I get to the picture. And I'm thinking, well, if you're the doctor, what is it? Is it something like internally that goes, man, she's hot. Like, you know what? I want her to have mine. Whether she knows it or not, I want to at least know. Otherwise, why would you do that? Like, they're already paying you and you're not actually getting to do the deed to impregnate her. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Then I saw the picture of Bianca Voss, and I really asked, why would you do that? Not good.
Sorry.
Not good at all.
Yeah, it isn't good. Sorry, I was just distracted. Now, apparently he goes, my name is David Culley, and he calls himself a junkie. I didn't even hear that stupid quote, or at least I don't remember it. No, I do not remember it at all, but yeah, I just Googled it right now. I mean, Nick, there's so many quotes that you can listen to from David Culley and make fun of it and pick it apart that I don't really pay attention.
It's just such a complete disaster, too.
Like, I don't really care. I don't really care to hear him speak.
David Culley seems like a life coach. Jack Easterby seems like, oh boy.
Who you cares know, if every other show is playing at zero fold? I don't care. I don't remember. I don't care. I mean, if it was that much of a drop, I would have played it. I don't care.
Okay. Boy, Nick, I had so much more on this story, but it's probably better we don't. It was called the. First of all, you got to see Bianca Voss. She looks like Throw Mama from the Train, and she's concerned which sperm the doctor used. At least she got some. I'm saying that.
It's freaking weird. That's a weird ass story.
She called it medical rape.
Oh no!
He didn't touch her.
Oh no!
How was that? Boy.
Oh no.
And again, if you're the dude, I don't understand what you're actually getting out of the deal. So it's very, very crazy. All right. You know what's not crazy to me? You guys were great again this week, and we want you back next week. So we want you to have a great weekend. Again, a reminder, we're all off on the station on Monday. It's going to be national programming, I believe. So have a great long weekend. And before you get your weekend started, stay tuned because Fred, AJ, Aaron are coming up next with the Blitz. Enjoy that till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.